Welcome to the School Sucks Project, a podcast, YouTube channel, and online community dedicated to personal growth and intellectual self-defense.
We promote learning alternatives, home education, critical thinking, peaceful parenting, organization and productivity, and better communication strategies.
Please remember to visit schoolsucksproject.com to get comprehensive show notes, relevant links,
or to just leave comments.
Follow us on Twitter at SchoolSucksShow. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, username SchoolSucksPodcast, and get involved in our Facebook group. Just search for School Sucks Project.
Hey everybody, this is Brett. Welcome back to the show. Today is November 13th. It is Monday morning. This is School Sucks Across America, day 30. And in just a couple hours, I'm going to begin my return trip across the United States of America. I will be back in New Hampshire. It's hard to believe this, in just 11 days. So that happens in just a few hours. I wanted to get one more show to you before I hit the road. And then there's so much more stuff bottlenecked. You know, folks, hotels, in their rooms, they offer a service called free Wi-Fi. And this is basically the same as saying in their toilets, they offer a service called free water. It's like, yeah, you're technically not lying, but is it really suitable for my purposes? They didn't know I was a podcaster. They didn't know I was shooting video and had things I wanted to upload. But yeah, it was hard to be as productive as possible because like almost sitting in front of the computer sometimes just becomes a frustrating experience. But anyway, you know, we're making it happen. I hope you've enjoyed all of the updates on this podcast. We're actually going to return to day 11 of School Sucks Across America. This was October 25th, and this was the Detroit meetup. So this was a great group of people. I've already made some future plans with them, but I'm not going to spoil it. You can hear about it in the show today. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you to everyone who was there. It was a nice recharge. You know, I was starting to get a little fatigued at this point in the trip. I was starting to get into unfamiliar territory, but the reception that I got from this group of people just really energized me, put some pep in my step to get me on to the next leg of the trip that eventually got me all the way here to this godforsaken hellhole, Los Angeles, California. It's not that bad. I'm exaggerating. It's okay. There are problems here. There are problems here that I have become aware of in the entire state of California. But they're more political. The opportunity, there is opportunity here. There are wonderful people here. There is tremendous natural beauty and exciting activity. It's just when you have all those things, you also develop a bit of a parasite problem in the way of the state. And I don't know what these poor people out here are going to do. I want to say a huge thanks to my host in the Detroit area. His name was Michael. He created two great life experiences for me on the trip. Right now, first of all, he lived a good half hour south of like the downtown Detroit area. So when I saw his address, I was like, oh, great. I don't have to go anywhere near that city of Detroit. That was before I left, right? As the trip went on and I became more adventurous, I'm getting more curious about all the things I might be able to see along the way. And when I got to his house, he said, do you want, you know, a tour of Detroit from the highway or do you want to see the real Detroit? And I said, I want to see the real Detroit. And boy, did we. I've got some amazing video of that I'm going to be releasing in the very near future. Again, the bottleneck problem, and there's a lot of editing to do. I have, dozens and dozens of hours of video that I've shot so far, and we're shooting a bunch on the way back as well. So we do this Detroit tour. That was an amazing experience. And then, you know, he said, you can sleep on my boat. And I just said, you know, well, some people have boats in their yards. He must keep his boat in his yard and I can sleep on it. That's neat. I would like to sleep on a boat. Boat was actually in the water. So that was even sweeter. It was an awesome night's sleep. And I just had a great time with these people and these surroundings and all the stimulation that I enjoyed in that area. I also want to say thank you to Joe Motard, who offered to be my driver while I was in the area. I did not take him up on that, but we did a pit stop for my car. He changed my air filter. He gave it a quick detail, And I was really appreciative of that. It was much needed, especially the air filter. I wanted to have a nice new clean one before I started sucking in the desert air. You know, Kansas, Colorado, Utah, Nevada. And boy, did I suck it in out there. So I did do some editing on this conversation. We started late at night, and it was kind of wild and kind of disorganized. And I wanted to make sure that everybody who came got what they wanted out of the School Sucks Across America experience. So I did want to give it a once-over before I put it out as a podcast. If you are listening to the Patreon version of this show, I am actually going to tack on just a little taste of Weekend with Thaddeus Russell. From Saturday, we opened up with a session about subverting the accreditation system in higher education and talking a lot about what we're doing with Renegade University and with School Sucks Project. And we had a conversation in front of the group about my trip. So obviously, most of what was said is exclusively for the people who attended the event. But for the patrons, I'm just going to clip a portion of that discussion and attach it to the end of this show. So that's it, everybody. Let's get to it. This is just a small sample of what was an outstanding evening with a group of people that I'm definitely excited to visit with again. School Sucks Across America, Day 11, October 25th, 2017, in Gibraltar, Michigan. Thanks for listening, and take care. Your mind so high, you won't come down. If you're prepared yourself for the rubber band, man, you'll never turn a sound like a rubber band, man. You're bound to lose control when the rubber band starts to jam. Welcome to School Sucks Across America from Detroit.
Yeah. Let's toast to freedom, Brett.
Home of the Energy Roundtable.
Oh, hold on, Joe. Let me put
the external mic on so you can hear it. Go ahead.
We're at the home of the Energy Roundtable, where we start off every show with a toast to freedom. So, to freedom!
To freedom! Freedom!
Yes.
No. The way I've been doing these shows is asking these two questions, like, what is your school sucks story? And I find that I'm getting a lot of very similar answers, and it's also similar to a lot of stuff I've been saying on the show for almost a decade right now. So as we're like a quarter of a way through the trip, I think I'm going to just start focusing in on question two. Like, how did you get here? What have you done to correct this problem and this recognition that the schooling that you received or that your children were supposed to receive was not, in fact, education? Like, how have you taken action on that? Those are the stories I want to start collecting. And if that doesn't apply to you for any reason and you have questions for me, feel free to ask them. The first thing I want to do is say thank you to Mike, who's holding a mic right now, and he is shit. Oh, man. See, this is where you wish you could edit, right? Because that was the size of Mike, who is at the table with me right now.
Hello, I'm Mike.
And I want to say thank you for hosting this, for hosting me, fulfilling one of my dreams of being able to sleep in a boat in the water. Which,
yeah,
thank you so much, Mike.
And for that fancy tour of Detroit, I hope you enjoyed
it. Oh, my gosh. And for some of the best Greek food I've ever had in my life. You definitely made this a very special day. And every day of this trip, I think this is day 11 or 12. Is just amazing for a completely different reason. When I first heard about coming to Gibraltar, Michigan, where we are, a little bit south of Detroit, I said, great, I don't have to go into Detroit. That was terrifying. But then as soon as he proposed that idea, I said, yeah, I absolutely need to do that. I need to go up there and see that city. And I mean, we saw that city. What we did, I almost don't want to spoil it. No, people won't hear this for weeks, so we don't have to worry about spoiling it. We met a squatter who most people would call a homeless man, but he had actually gathered up building materials from around the city and built his own homes. And I interviewed him. I built like tiny homes, right?
Up on top, almost like on a fortress up on a...
Wait.
Plateau.
What?
Up on a...
make sure this thing is up. Just start that again.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, but I just was riding my bike by there about a year and a half ago. He lives up on this, like, I don't know, like a plateau on a fortress and a train and bunk embankment like 20 feet up. We had to climb ladders. I don't know what you guys were thinking when we got there, but it's pretty cool. Very.
I was thinking, I hope he's been here before.
Interesting character.
Like, I hope he knows what's up there. Right, because we did. We just saw the top of like what looked like an old abandoned. I thought it was the top of an abandoned house, like behind a wall. And we go up there, and it is at least 120 square foot house that this guy had built. You know, it was really amazing. So I actually interviewed him, and you know, I saw some things that if I had just come here and driven around, I never would have seen on my own. So I thank you so much for, you know, showing me the Detroit that you know. It was very cool. It was a good experience.
There's a lot more, so I'm glad you glad it worked out. I've had a good time myself.
I'm coming back here. I can't believe I've had this is the first time I've ever made it out here, but I'm excited to come back and spend more time. I regret only being able to be out here for one day because this has just been there's so much stuff to talk about and there's so many people to talk to, and I know I'm going to leave here wishing like I've left most places on this trip wishing I could have stayed much longer. One of the people that I definitely wanted to get on the show before he had to leave was Jacob Ramirez. Is that okay to use your whole name?
Yep, that's fine.
So you've been a listener for a while. You're an active participant in the School Sucks group. And I just wanted to thank you for coming tonight. I know you had quite a drive. And I wanted to see, you know, what did you want to get out of tonight? I wanted to make sure that it was achieved, that we could all achieve it together if necessary before you had to leave.
I think we've... gotten everything.
And
I honestly didn't come here with any plan in place.
Well, this little talk, that's kind of like a happy ending for you, right? Jacob?
No, this guy, Mike, tell you. I apologize. It's late.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm a little off my game at the moment.
I'm totally off my game. I'm not even on the field right now, right? I was saying I've been recording these drive journals, and the one thing that's missing from this trip has been sleep. So that can be another thing that we could talk about is what are some good sleep hacks?
I'll tell you, driving home for 2.5 hours after 11 o'clock is not a good sleep hack.
Is that what you have to do?
Yeah.
Before we let you go, and I agree that should be a priority, will you share one nugget of wisdom from your self-education journey?
My self-education journey. I don't know if I have much wisdom, but...
Just a nugget is what we're looking for.
A nugget. I have gotten a lot out of your show. I appreciate how you come at things from a calm and open-minded perspective. I know that with a lot of the things that have been happening on college campuses...
I edit out the parts where I freak out. I don't want there to be much of a record of that.
Well, I appreciate that because I personally don't have as much of a concern about that as you do.
Mm-hmm.
You are a very calm and collected person. I've never seen you freak out or anything about anything.
But you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, Mike.
But we think differently. We think differently about that too, right? Like you seem like you were more sympathetic. Like when I was arguing, or not arguing, but kind of taking opposing positions on that from like Stephanie and Brian, you seem like you were sympathetic to a lot of their points, right?
Yeah, I would say that on the whole, I was more sympathetic to them on those shows. One place, though, on those specific shows where I was totally on board with you was the argument about cultural appropriation. You know, in general, culture is formed by constantly mixing ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I wouldn't have been cool in high school if it wasn't for gangster rap and me being like a gangster rapper. So
yeah, and that's...
So that was really, yeah, that was helpful.
And those rappers wouldn't be as rich as they are without
everyone
who's bought their music.
What do you think, what was something you thought I got wrong in that series?
Oh, that's been a while.
What is something you think I get wrong generally?
I don't know about wrong. You're more sympathetic to conservative arguments
so?
Than I would be.
Well, see, here's what happens, right? You watch all this stuff that's on the college situation is important to me because college education is like something that we need. And I think if more and more fields and more like higher education cultures become consumed by that stuff, it's a problem. If like conversations can't happen, I mean, do you think that's overplayed, like the attack on free speech or the attack on debate, discourse, and some of these like social science programs?
I think it's... probably an issue in some places. I don't know that it's as widespread as some people in the media are making it out to be.
So you think it's more hype than reality?
From the outside, it seems like it may be a little overhyped, though I definitely wouldn't discount certain specific experiences. It does seem that some places they do want to shut down dissenting voices.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone like Richard Spencer coming to campus, I can kind of see why you might not want him there. But the thing is, I know it happens to people who are not white nationalists as well, people who might have more libertarian ideas. In fact, just last week, I believe, I saw Camille Foster, who is he's a libertarian guy. He's a black guy who says he's not black, as in he doesn't identify as mm-hmm. black.
Right.
He was at a talk on a campus. You know, he was trying to explain his point of view on that. Some of the students in the audience were shouting him down.
Yeah, I wouldn't imagine that would go over very well. I mean,
he did get to speak, but I can see...
What was the nature of their shouting down?
Oh, I remember, like, someone was just started chanting Black Lives Matter. You know, they were chanting this to a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really have anything against Black Lives Matter in the abstract. It didn't seem like it was a Black Lives Matter chant. It seemed like a just...
Drown out the guy who's speaking.
Yeah, just anything, chant. Anything to drown out the guy who was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like black people, and in some of my conversations, I've caught myself talking to black people about would be considered like black issues, and I think they're kind of put upon a lot of times just by being black, where it's like hard for them to just say, "Hey, I'm just a person," you know, whatever.
Like they're
unfortunately, it does in our society, you know.
Like they're being asked to speak for their entire
race.
Yeah,
it's like, when we go somewhere, we're mostly we would speak for ourselves. You. Or Hispanic, although I don't really notice that about you, but I mean, sometimes you might be put on while you're Hispanic, Ramirez.
Well, see, that's really the main reason I wanted to come on this show, because you needed some color up in this bitch.
You don't think I have enough color?
No, that was just a joke. But
you are also right. But I don't know what I can really do about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing.
It's not like if any of those people are on, you know, the left side or the other side of this argument that they talk to me, right? Like I have tried to have these conversations for a long time, and they don't.
Yeah, I know a lot of people definitely they. As you've said, they don't want to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, the environment reinforces that too, because then when somebody from outside it comes in, it's very uncomfortable. So that was one of the things that I was originally speaking up about that I saw as a problem, right? And I did feel some antagonism, you know, that when I started this show, those kids who are making all this noise on college campuses, they're in middle school. And I said, wouldn't it be nice if they could hear this message? And I knew I wasn't going to reach, like, you know, the entire country. But I said, well, here's a message for that I wish I could have heard when I was 16 going through school about freedom, individual liberty, most importantly. And it was apparent that all of those kids, as they continue to graduate from high school after 15,000 hours of that, so many of them are going to be, you know, kind of taken over by this system that is in many ways anti-individual and certainly anti-freedom, you know, and that just was kind of upsetting to me. I don't see any benefits to most of this identity politics that are going on in higher education.
Oh, I mean, I do agree with that.
Okay.
Completely. I mean, I'm not a fan of left or right identity politics.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that as well. But I mean, that's what all of the energy and time and attention is being poured into right now. And it's anti-individualism, and it's in both cases now, as it's like, you know, one side advocating for socialism and the other side, in many cases, advocating openly for fascism. It's obviously anti-liberty, but the two sides keep, you know, energizing each other and pushing each other further from, you know, the other.
Yeah, so. it's a continuous feedback loop where they're just reacting more and more harshly against each other.
Right.
And if you don't identify with the group, then there's something wrong with you. Like a black person to come up and speak in front of a group and not identify himself as black is, you know.
And he's not being an essentialist. They want people in these situations who will go and say, well, you know, as a black person.
Right.
It's like this is, I think that a lot of these people who are, you know, the identity politics people, on college campuses, as a woman, as a gay person, as a black person, not as myself. And then when you have somebody who doesn't apparently have the song sheet for how you're supposed to feel as essentially as that identity, then they're ushered away from the spotlight and the stage very quickly, or people just have complete meltdowns over somebody like Camille Foster or somebody like Milo, who's, you know, gay but not doing the right things for a gay person. We see a lot of that.
I think it's especially difficult for Black people to not identify as being Black people, and, you know.
Well, have you heard this, Camille Foster?
I believe so. I'm not sure.
What's his argument? How does he make that case?
Well, it's basically, like you were saying, an anti-essentialist claim that he sees race as a social construct.
Does he identify as anything?
I mean, I guess he identifies sort of as a libertarian. I mean, I don't follow him all that closely. Mm-hmm. You know, he makes many of the same arguments that you might hear out of Thaddeus Russell as far as you know, the racial arguments.
Right.
Yeah, Black American race is kind of defined, you know, it's a cultural thing, and I think, it's just it's a cultural thing, and it's not a real thing. I agree with, like, that.
And I know specifically his parents, I believe, are immigrants from, I don't know, somewhere in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
In their family, they don't have the historical baggage of the
that's right.
Of
that's
American
right. So
history.
They just have this appearance, yeah. And they don't have any. They weren't raising him with any expectation they were going to fit into a culture. So anyway, I was just curious. I wanted to get something from you before you left. I wanted to obviously acknowledge that you were here, that I appreciated that you were here, because I know you came a long way, and I appreciate, you know, everything that you've put into the show as a listener and as a participant in the conversation.
Well,
so.
I appreciate having me on, though I don't feel I was as articulate as I could have been.
I'll just speed it up 8%. That's my secret. It's fine. I'm glad you were here, and I thank you so much for coming, and I thank you so much for listening.
All right. Well, thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks, Jacob.
Why don't we bring up Joe?
Here you go, Joe.
So just make sure they are on.
I'm Joe Motard, and I approve this message.
Okay, guys, welcome to the show. Joe, let's start with you. Joe, you want to use your whole name?
Absolutely. I make it a point to never hide. I use no pseudonyms on any of my social media. I'm Joe Motard.
Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you so much for cleaning my car and replacing my air filter. You're like, that was the sweetest thing.
Joe's the car guy.
I know. You wrote to me a week ago, and I'm sorry I couldn't take you up on the offer to have you as my driver. If I do come back, I would love that. They just tore around like we did. We did great today with Mike, but I didn't know what that meant for you to be my driver. You know, like, did I sit in the back? Do I say, take me here?
There are a lot of people who choose to sit in the back, but my whole objective was, I figure you're driving yourself across the entire country all the time, spending all your time on the road, so the last thing you want to do when you're in a particular town is drive yourself from point A to point B. You figure you want somebody to shuttle you around so you can just kind of sit there and sloth off and relax for a little bit.
Mm. I've had three drivers now. Mike today, my friend Andrew, who met me in Pittsburgh, and Phil in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And those were much better experiences, much better times in those cities.
It's a lot easier when you have somebody who knows kind of the local roads and traffic patterns and speed traps and law enforcement
Absolutely.
Practices.
Where to go, where not to go. Yeah. And you are Joe Allen?
Right. That's what I'm known as on Facebook. That is really my name. It's just my middle name.
And, all right.
That's what most people are going to know me as. So.
Awesome.
Joe Allen.
Well, I want to ask both you guys while you're up here, what did you come here tonight hoping to get out of School Sucks Across America Detroit? Because it's late. We started late. We probably should have started at 9 instead of 11. But I want to just make sure that everybody leaves here tonight happy. Or as many people as possible leave here tonight happy.
Well, you know, for me, I mean, I'll freely admit, I wanted to have an opportunity to personally express some of the fanboy thing. I've listened to School Sucks podcast from the very beginning. And
starting in 2009?
I actually started later, but I binged it, you know, because that's what we do nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But I have listened to each and every single episode. I've observed and heard your personal journey, your growth, the improvement in your sound quality and your research and everything that's taken place over the course of your podcast career, which and now, quite frankly, you are my very favorite content creator
in the world.
Absolutely.
Wow, that is, thank you. That is awesome.
Yeah, I literally get very excited when a new episode of School Sucks comes out. I listen to these things all the time. And yeah, it's a great joy for me. So it was really cool to be able to meet you and to do whatever I could to kind of help you on your trip across the country. But
well, this is like the nicest thing. What do you want me to do with the show? What would make you happy if you like came to the feed and saw, oh, there's this show about this or a series about this, like no, go for it.
So I have to say there's one particular episode of School Sucks that stands out as one of my absolute favorite of all time, and it sounds basic and simple and silly, but there was one episode where you sat there and you read Murray Rothbard's Banking, Wall Street Banking and American Foreign Policy.
Yep. I did that in a tent.
You did that in a tent, and I sat there and I listened to it up north under the stars in front of a campfire for like the third time, and it really, really spoke to me. I mean, obviously, Rothbard's writing does that for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but the way you actually read that, it was very dramatic, it was well-spoken, and I thought it really lent a lot to the rest of your catalog of content, even though it wasn't even your original material. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I also adore your speeches about history, particularly your Anglophobia, mm-hmm. which I always find entertaining because English history is frankly amazing that any of it actually happened the way it did. And
I was an Anglophobe until I found out people were trying to destroy Western civilization, and it's my obligation to save it.
Oh, no.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm terrified of British people. There's something up with them. That's called Anglophobia. Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of like there's some historical basis for that. Like the British certainly caused a lot of trouble in the last 500 years, and I've just taken note of it, and I think a lot of people overlook it. I try to make it a little funny. I try to be a little funny about it, right? Okay. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, and of course, Anglo-Saxon culture is viewed as the pinnacle of human development,
well,
right?
Well, think about how that even came about. They were people from Germany who went to the islands and murdered every man on that island and then got with the women there, and those are the Anglo-Saxons.
Yeah, but that wasn't a new trick. I mean, the Spanish did that. The Vikings did that.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, that's not a British problem. That's like a
grant them prima nocta.
Right. Exactly.
We can't get them out. We'll breed them out.
You know, I forget where I said this. I don't know if I said it in a show. Did I tell you about my Freedom Club cartoon? This is kind of a dark
Please
idea.
Fill me in.
Okay. Stefan Molyneux on Free Domain Radio, who, by the way, did a great job with Thaddeus Russell yesterday in their debate on postmodernism, if you haven't seen really? That yet. They were both like top-notch performances.
Freedom chub increases.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Steph started using this phrase for like the West called the Freedom Club a couple years ago, and I thought it would be funny if there was like this was, you know, people used to animate, make videos of his talks. You know, people, like somebody says something like, shit, man, that's really profound. It should be animated. I wanted to make one of like the British sailing around the world and just like in their little boats.
Like an RSA marker.
Right, right. But they go, pardon us, Freedom Club, coming through. And it's just like swords and bombs and, you know.
We think you need some freedom.
Fires burning. It says, oh, sorry, Freedom Club, just fixing things up here. I don't know. I thought that would be funny.
Well.
Yeah.
Filthy broken teeth slobbering on native women.
Mm-hmm. That kind of a thing. So anyway, you like history, you were saying.
And absolutely.
So I'm not fishing for compliments here. I'm saying, like, what can I do to please you with my show? Because, like, no, I'm really moved by just you came, the offer to, like, you know, help me when I was here, your interest in, you know, the things you wanted to share with me when I got here. I just think this is terrific, and I want to pick your brain.
Well, I won't lie. I mean, for me, it's an exchange of value. I've extracted so much over the years from School Sucks podcasts. I mean, I have literally listened to every single episode that you've done to date, including your AV Club, which I am a donor, and I suggest anyone hearing this to do the same because it's absolutely worth it.
Thank you.
But really, I've always felt like I owed you something. You've given me hundreds of hours of content that that nobody has equaled, and I've gotten so much out of it. It's been instrumental in my my growth in the philosophy of liberty, in the way I live my life, the way I raise my child, the options I've selected in pursuing education for her and in helping her to decide how she wants to be educated. I think I owe you more than I've given.
Tell me what you want next.
Well, I'll tell you, there is one thing that would really, really be a cherry on top, and that would be to have you as a guest at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, which is a... that is an event that we host, the 6th annual... MPLF will be June 21st through the 25th in...
I'll come. I'll do it. I agree. I agree to do it. I will skip that other thing to come here. Right. Right. So I've gone to Porkfest in New Hampshire 8 years in a row. And I think, like, this... I've like, been invited before, and it's Michigan, and I'm in New Hampshire, and I've said, that would be nice. But now that I've been here... and I see the lack of time that's available this time and how much time I would need to really like talk to everyone as much as I want. I will definitely, I mean, how long is it, a week?
It's 21st to the 25th, so it's 5 days.
But yeah, great. And then I could maybe hang around a little on either side. That'd be terrific.
Oh yeah. We have space for you.
And it's at a campground.
It is.
So I could camp.
Was that a summer camp? So it's a little bit more private than a campground.
Oh, I like that.
It's close to 300 acres. So you can choose your environment if you want to be by the party people or the quiet people. Yeah, and it's got something for everyone. Everyone who loves freedom anyway.
So, we should talk seriously about making that happen, and we should talk about what you guys want me to do when I get there.
Oh, we can do that.
Who else do you think might be there this year?
You know, I won't lie. I haven't. I am the speaker coordinator for the event. I haven't planned out who exactly is going to be our headliners.
Well, we got one now.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we do have a committed one. Jeff Tucker did say that he was interested in returning after last year, and I won't lie, having the man sit on my lap was quite a thrilling experience, which. I hope to replicate.
I want to debate Jeffrey Tucker.
Yeah. About?
Yes.
I want topics to be picked out of a hat.
Ooh. Okay. So it depends on what time of day you're talking to the man. But I would say...
It's the same way I play poker. I want me sober and him drunk. He's probably 15 years older than me, and he's wiser. He's more well-read. He's got lots of advantages.
I've seen his work. He is no slouch behind a lectern.
No, he is no slouch behind the lectern. So I would want to see if I could stack things in my favor just a little bit. But I would like to have it out with him about fast food. You know?
Oh.
Like, I've tried this before, and he just is like, no, it's great. You know? But
he has an absolute love affair with McDonald's.
I don't think he's seen the numbers. He loves fast food too much, and I...
Yeah. I can appreciate this as a debate because, quite frankly, I see McDonald's, and I don't even want to breathe the same air that place produces because it is a... I view it as a societal cancer. It's disgusting. The food destroys people inside. Every time I've eaten it since, for the past decade, which has been very, very few times, I feel like I'm dying inside. This is not actual food. This is...
I agree. It's bad for you inside, like physically and emotionally. Like, have you ever eat? Like, anytime I eat there, I go, "Oh my god,
What did I do?
A Happy Meal is
what are
not
the consequences
a source of happiness. It is a source of shame.
Do you think some of that could be...
They should call it the shame meal.
Yes.
The shame meal. The despair meal.
So do you think some of that could be from years and years and years of being told how horrible this food is, and so then you go there and you eat it, and then... You just kind of have the psychological reaction.
A little bit of a middle finger to the establishment, right? No.
What you've been told?
It tastes... It.
McDonald's hamburgers make me ill. I've eaten like more fast food than anybody I know, and I've had maybe 5 hamburgers in the last 30 years because they literally every time I've eaten them, they make me ill. So there's that.
Well, you're not alone there. Remember when we were... Those of us who are old enough, remember when we found out it was seaweed? And they're like, oh, sorry that it's seaweed. We'll make it beef.
Now we call it nigiri. We enjoy it with our seafood sushi.
Now it's 100% beef.
Yeah, say. It was just seafood for a while. Not seafood. Seaweed. Joe, how about you? Same question to you. Wait, so settled, right? That's what's happening.
The fest.
That's what's next.
I'm completely satisfied with your responses.
Okay, and you just pipeline anything else, you know, as far as ideas, future content, write to me. I'm open ears, open mind. How about you? What did you want to get out of tonight, Joe?
Well, you know, I have been listening. I've been binging on your recent episodes with your tour for like the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you just nixed a part of the show that I was all prepared to talk about.
Oh, then do it. This can be whatever you, if that's what you wanted to get out of tonight, I want to hear it.
Actually, what I really wanted to get out of tonight, though, was just I really just enjoy the community of people who appreciate freedom in any form, whether it's for children growing up or just in society in general. Hanging around freedom lovers is always an enriching experience, and That's really what I came for. But then after I was, you know, listening to your podcast, I did think of something I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm.
You were asking people first about their school sucks moment, and then you moved on to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And my story is probably longer than I want to say.
You think there was a moment.
But there was a key moment in the story that I want to share.
Yes.
And I'll give just a little bit of backstory so I can get to the moment. But I took economics in college, and I don't know, somehow my college experience was different from like everybody's that you hear, where they're like in this like liberal hellhole where they teach nothing but socialism. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that experience. Somehow, where I went to college, like my sociology professor showed me the greed video from John Stossel.
Okay.
Like, I don't know how this happened, but I escaped the socialist propaganda going to college. So I started to learn a little bit about economics. I was interested in it because it was completely different than anything that I had learned before. So I held on to this interest, and I kept reading about this for years. And then I went to graduate school. And here was my moment.
So you're sucked in. You're like year 17 at this point of school. Okay.
Yeah. So I went to graduate school to study finance. Similar experience, not a socialist college that I went to at all. My professor handed me a printout of this paper called Great Myths of the Great Depression. Yeah. And it's written, I know it's written kind of from a Chicago school standpoint, and there's some things about it that I probably wouldn't really even agree with now,
mm-hmm.
but there is a great deal of truth in this paper.
Oh, I'm thinking this was the Bob Murphy thing. That's not what it was.
No.
Okay.
No.
No, this is an excellent paper. There is a great deal of truth in this paper. And having, you know, read all of this economics for years before this paper was handed to me, it was shocking because I remembered being in, I can't remember if it was like early part of high school, maybe it was late middle school, somewhere in there. I remember sitting in the trailer where they taught me that Hoover was this laissez-faire guy who did nothing to help anyone. And then Roosevelt came in with his New Deal and did all of these, what I see now as horrific government things,
mm-hmm.
and made everything better for everybody and helped all these millions of people and helped the economy. He saved the country in 100 different ways. And then I read Great Myths of the Great Depression, and I immediately saw the truth in it because of the background I had of reading about economics.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the moment. The moment was, holy crap,
they were teaching me complete bullshit propaganda when I was in school. And then I started to see, like, this one lesson that they teach these people in this school is the basis for so much irrationality that is spread throughout our entire culture, that is crushing our ability to grow the economy and ultimately happiness
mm-hmm.
for hundreds of millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I mean, we yeah. can see, so we see the results of what, 60 years, 70 years of, you know, government intervention and economic central planning around these parts.
Right. And people put up with that because they're taught things like this nonsense that I was taught and is repeated 100 million times in schools all across America.
Right. And that the thing that has been that has actually been the problem will, in fact, this time be the solution.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure the politicians here are saying the same things.
Some of the politicians probably even believe it because they don't know any better.
I think a lot of those professors believe it.
Yeah.
I don't think they feel like they're occulting information. Right. I mean, that is just
my history teacher probably believed it.
Absolutely.
I'm sure.
It's just passed through an echo chamber.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for that first episode of Ow My Balls.
It should be coming soon.
Actually, there was a particular episode of Jackass that featured Johnny Knoxville getting hit in the crotch through the entire thing, and I remember my own father and I laughing our asses off for the entire thing, and I felt stupid for doing it, but at the same time, it was deeply satisfying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So that's a great story, and I think, for me, I had all of those realizations, but I was done with school. You know, I was getting billed, you know, yeah. for this, and then realizing this stuff later while I was getting billed for that, you know, fake education.
My very last school sucks moment was after I finished graduate school and never found a job in finance.
What? Ever? What did you do?
No.
So what did you end up doing?
So right now I work for a real estate firm, which is very close to what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I work mostly in just kind of like basic accounting stuff, which is not the same as finance. Finance is about, you know, decision support, valuation, those kinds of things, where I work in like accounts payable and accounts receivable and budgeting and that kind of thing.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, no, just, you know, years of trying to move into that, but it never happened.
What have you done since you had this experience leaving graduate school? What has your self-education looked like, or what have the highlights been? Or
actually, I've been doing a number of different things. I've been experimenting with different ways to try and do something else. One of the things I started about a year and a half ago, and actually I got this from Tom Woods. He had a training program on there talking about how to do blogging for affiliate marketing.
Yes.
And I started a website, rationalpreparedness.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I write about generators. And I had a guest author write about pressure canners. And I'm writing about survival parkas. And in between, I write like interesting things. Like I spent an entire month living without using my refrigerator or freezer or buying any food. and so I wrote about five articles about that. In between these articles where I do the reviews, and there's affiliate links in there. So if you're reading about a generator because you want to know about the generator, and then you go to click on one of my links, it'll take you to the site where you can buy it. And if you do, then I'll get a commission for that, or if you buy anything there.
The dog costumes don't hurt either.
So
what?
He's moving on to my next venture. I do make money.
Dog costumes.
I do make money with the blog, but it is a very slow scaling, growing process. If you really pour yourself into a blog, you can probably get to about $1,000 in a month in about a year. I'm about a year and a half in, and I'm probably, I made like 160 last month, and I made about 95 this month. So, but part of that is because I was working on the round table, and then partway into it, I started the next thing too, which was
I started doing the people who introduced me to the affiliate marketing had a webinar where they introduced us to something that's supposed to work a little faster, and that is drop shipping.
Yes.
So I got into I built a website, fluffy-outfitters.com. It's a pets. It's not. People always think it's something else, but it's pets.
They're thinking of furries. They're thinking of furries, and like, come on, no, this is for our pets.
We're talking cat toys and dog sweaters and things like this,
right?
And
Fluffy.
Yeah. And this has definitely been a learning experience. I am still the way that this works is that you test market these products that other like warehouses in China and places like this will sell, and then you buy it from them and ship it immediately to your customer if they buy it from you.
Right.
So, but the way it works is to find a profitable product, you have to keep testing and testing and testing products. I tested 70 products in the store, and I thought, okay, maybe this isn't the right niche for me. So then I tried a different way of doing the same thing, and that's what I'm starting now. And this they're called funnels, where when a person goes to the website that they click on in your ad, they don't actually go to an entire website where they can click on all these different things and get lost. Now, they can choose to either buy the product or not buy the product. And if they buy the product, then they get an opportunity to buy another product. And then that's the end of the funnel. And then they move on. And then they can also buy more than one. There's like order doubler and that kind of thing.
Mm.
But after I got started doing that, Tom Woods, he also had a webinar about these same people who were doing the drop shipping as I did. And so he got some of his, you know, students who went in there onto his show. And the third guy on a show, he tested 100 products before he found one that was profitable. And I only tested 70. And here's a guy. He went.
How long did the test take?
They take 4 days. Right, but you can test several at once.
Okay, sure.
So he in like 4 months, he tested 100 products, and then he got one that sold like $60,000 in 1 month. And he was making like 20-30% on it. So he probably made like 15 grand. So what that told me was I should have tested more products before I moved on to this funnel thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fluffy Outfitter store is not done. I will go back into it and eventually test some products. But right now, I'm still working the funnels, so... That's where I'm at now, and my hope is to eventually leave my current job and not find another one ever.
Make it rain!
Was Tom Woods something that you found while you were already looking for a way to do this, or were you persuaded by what Tom Woods does to do this?
So I've always kind of had my eye out for something else to do, and I've even tried things before. Like one time, actually through this process, I learned that I had been successful in the past up to the point when I stopped. Because a few years ago,
Let me just make sure we get that right. You had been successful in the past up to the point where you stopped.
Right. I had been as successful as one would expect to be at the point where I was in this business.
Okay.
I didn't know that I was doing well.
Right.
Because a lot of times you start these things and you don't make money.
You're like, I'm not mailing VHS tapes to people where I'm on a boat and telling them they could do it too.
Right.
So I failed.
Right. But it turns out I really didn't.
Right.
So that was something that I learned. And what I had done is before even having all of these school things, I went out on my own and started a store selling live coral over the internet.
Live coral?
Yeah. Like from a reef.
Reefer addicts.
When do we get to the dog costumes? How do the dog costumes come into this?
Well, the dog costumes were in the Fluffy Outfitter store.
Okay, all right. But now
we already went past that.
Okay, I thought so. But they were costumes for dogs, costumes of dogs for people.
Right, right, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't clarify that.
But
dog people will pour endless amounts of money into things for their dogs, especially people who have hot dogs who want them to wear hot dog costumes.
I do have a hot dog bed.
Oh,
it's a pair of buns and the dog lays down the middle of it.
Okay, that's probably a hot seller.
Yeah, it should be.
No. I wasn't. No. If I was trying to be funny, That would have been better.
Porn music.
That was terrible. That was bad. That's probably a top seller.
It is not. I do not have any top sellers. I'm still looking for my winner. I have 70 products that I test. I sold some of them. Don't get me wrong, but no, I haven't found one that really flies off the shelves yet.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that story, and I think that the reason why I asked if you had been looking for this before you saw like what Tom would, what you Happy right. Earners, right, is what you do, that mailing list.
No.
Oh, do you not even know about the Happy Earners?
I am on the Happy Earners.
I am not on any of Tom Woods' mailing lists.
Get it? Well, you should. He'll send you an email every hour.
He sends a lot of email. I get too many emails already.
Signing up for the Tom Woods mailing list is like the Star Wars thing. Like, there's too many of them. You know,
I hear him on his show saying all the time, "You can never send too many emails." I'm like,
Yeah, you can.
But the thing is he's shy compared to the one guy that he gets on the show,
Ben Settle,
who sends emails like mad.
Yeah, Ben Settle sends me 3 or 4 emails a day.
Yeah,
some days, but some days he just doesn't have anything. He doesn't send anything. Some days he'll send 6 if he's trying to do some kind of promotion.
Yeah,
and for
every hour on the hour, like one time when he had something, he was like, it was like the last day of whatever it was he was trying to sell. I don't remember it, but he was like, "Yeah, I sent like 15 emails that day or something." So. That's a later stage for what I do. After you get your winning product and you sell like thousands of these things, and all of a sudden you're collecting.
Then you put the funnel together.
Then you do the email thing.
Right, which would be part of a funnel system.
Yeah, I guess you could funnel people with email, or you could just send them to the actual site.
Right. Well, you'd want
do both.
Okay, well, so all right, you'd get people on your list by getting them to your site, and then you would send them a sequence of emails that would lead them to something specific.
You also do build a marketplace reputation for providing unbiased quality reviews of products within a given specialty area, for, in his case, rational preparedness or something similar, where people will eventually look to your site to say, "I want to buy X product. You know, what does he have to say about it?" Right?
Right. You could do that there. You can also develop a mailing list there.
So let's think of a product. Let's think of a product, and we're going to funnel people to buying a product. And everyone can participate. So what's a product that we can sell on, what's the site, the preparedness site called?
Rational Preparedness.
Rational Preparedness. Ideas?
Metal aprons for while you're cooking bacon.
Metal aprons for while you're cooking bacon.
And... Now, this could get into the oven versus frying pan debate,
uh-oh,
which vastly influences the need for aprons in the first place.
Right.
And quite frankly, now, this may sound frivolous, but bacon cooking method is an important issue in the liberty movement because, honestly, does anyone know libertarians that don't actually like bacon?
There are a few vegans out there.
Those are government plants, I guarantee it.
Yeah, plants.
Plants.
Okay, so anyway, sure, of course. They are, that's all Tavistock Institute stuff. But, anybody who's eating bacon is cooking it in an oven, right? Like, what is this, the 60s?
No.
Okay, so...
Ooh, we need Lou Fien here
now,
for this conversation.
Lou Sander Fien from the Vegan Fiends is going to hear this podcast.
He's going to be throwing stuff at this moment. I could just picture him throwing things
I
have longer leashes.
Recently
now.
Tried bacon from the oven, and I have to say, not only does it taste fantastic,
it is fantastic.
It melts in your mouth. It's super easy to do. The cleanup effort is minimal. There's really no,
especially if you use parchment paper.
There's no real reason not to do it that way.
Well, let's think about what would cause somebody in 2017 to put bacon in a pan on a stovetop. Why would you only do 2 pieces?
I'm crazy.
You cooked the whole pack.
Now,
are you fasting?
That's a 2 bacon fast.
You may be losing some subscribers here.
She goes both ways.
So what you want to do is you take a cookie sheet, you line it with foil. You might want to just rub a little oil on it, but that's not mandatory.
Because bacon is oil.
Yeah. But I don't know. Sometimes that just makes me feel good to put a little extra grease.
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil. No, because you don't want anything that's going to affect the flavor. So, like if you just have that...
Oh, my God.
You know what you do?
Parchment paper.
When you're done making the bacon... in the cookie sheet, All the grease is pooled together for you on the cookie sheet instead of, you know, burning the skin on your torso and on the wall behind your burners and all over the burners and all over the floor for you
scarring
to slip
your children's
on.
Eyes.
It was in the oven. So it's just, it sinks into the cookie sheet. You scoop it up, you put it in a thing. When you're ready to make more bacon, you take some out and you just spread it. You can even put it, if you don't like touching it on with your fingers, you put on a little paper towel or a brush. Or a brush.
So what you're saying is, so what you're suggesting is that we sell cookie sheets in lieu of the apron.
Some kind of lubrication you rub over.
Yes.
Now there is one thing that I'll admit is sorely lacking. When you bake bacon in the oven, you don't have that heavy bacon odor that permeates the house, which is. For me, you know, I had a dad who cooked breakfast on the weekends every weekend growing up, and I do that myself. And that heavy odor of bacon, even in my, you know, teenage, super hungover years, that would crack me out of bed in an instant, right? That is kind of a weekend morning ritual. You are missing some of that.
You think it's because it comes slower?
No, I think
like
it's
if you
just
walk
because
into
it smells
the house,
good as fuck.
Like if you walked into the house after it was in the oven for 20 minutes, you might hit that smell. But in the oven, it takes so long to get the bacon going. Maybe you get used to it before.
Well,
it
you know, the cooking length of time is about the same. It's just with the open pan, you get that odor just like spewing out constantly throughout the entire cooking.
What's the benefits? It's just a smell? Is this all we're getting out of it? Like, so think about this. Would it be better to take the inferior method of making bacon, is that worth it just to get that smell?
Well, you know, we could take the McDonald's strategy and actually pump our desired smell out into the atmosphere.
I have the product. I have the product.
Yeah.
It's at this point, it's just a word, but I'm going to call it the Baconator, and I don't know how to make it
there's
or whatever.
Something called that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
Yeah, you know, at Wendy's. And there's even a Baconator Junior.
No, Baconator, Baconator. Like the Baconator to make bacon, like a Baconator. You just put bacon in there and it makes the best bacon ever. Oh, well, forget it.
All right, so here's what you make. A
cookie sheet on aluminum foil is all
you need. A multi-tiered cookie sheet stackable device so that you can put five of these things in the oven at one time.
But no one needs to make...
We could call it the Baconator.
but no one needs that much bacon at
See,
once.
Oh, this is perfect. Wait, this is perfect. I'm really glad that you said that.
Mm-hmm.
This is an illustration of the time you have not spent in Michigan. Yeah.
Yes. You need to bring the Baconator to Michigan because we need some fucking bacon.
I mean... Okay. We have events. We have practice bacon before the real bacon in the morning.
Second bacons, baconsies.
Yeah.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to start transitioning to new people. So I'm going to bring up Shannon to take my spot for a second so I can say goodbye to somebody who's leaving. And you guys interview Shannon.
All right. Oh, I have the perfect thing.
As if you're the host of School Sucks. And then I'll be back in a couple minutes.
And we do have Camp Bacon. Zingerman's throws on Camp Bacon, a two-day camp just about bacon in Ann Arbor, Michigan, every year.
All right. So, Shannon, I've been wanting to get you on a show for about 2 years now.
And I always say no to you.
Yeah. But
and here we are.
Here we are.
So it's just you and the two Joes.
Rawr.
Yeah. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
You coined a term.
I did. And am I going to really get credit for it? Because I was not given credit for it. On the Fiend show.
Oh, you were totally getting credit for this term. The AnFam.
I'm blushing right now. Okay, so AnFam, yes.
Yes.
I am going to take credit for it. Thank you.
So tell us all about the AnFam, why you came up with that term and why it's important to you.
Okay, so here in Michigan, we have lots of people. We had a Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest quite a few years ago. What are we on our 6th year coming up? So... Everyone who came to this, there was quite a few people who came out. We had lots of people who had gatherings after the fact, and we became very close, like family. So kind of a little anarchist family. Every now and then we'd have discussions about the pros and cons of being an ANCAP versus an ANCOM. We had a little bit of both within our mixed for a little while there. And when these discussions would get very heated, I at one point said, it doesn't matter. We're Ann fam. That's what we are. We're all here. We're fam. We're family. We're the Ann fam. So these little gatherings became our Ann fam gatherings. So yay. So we do. We have Thanksgivings. We have gatherings. We have parties. It's good.
Halloween
at Mike's house in his usually heated pool, except not today. Hopefully by Saturday.
Well, you ever been at a play when an actor comes forward and gives like a monologue and then there's a spotlight and while that's happening, the entire
background changes? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's happened here because Joe and Joe have left and now it's me and Kate. You want to use your whole name? Kate Testa?
Hello. Katie Testa. Yeah, Katie Testa. You can call me Kate, though.
Okay, thank you.
I call her Katie Cat, but that's just me.
Yeah, I just wanted to get you on the show because you've never been on the show before.
Yeah, that's kind of weird a little bit.
And I also know you're planning to do a long drive, so I wanted to pep you up before you drive, sharpen you up, because you were falling asleep in the chair.
I was. Yeah, the bacon conversation is the one I've had before.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine this is an ongoing thing here. What were you hoping to get out of your visit tonight? Because you came a ways and, you know, you said you hadn't, you're not always, you know, connected to this community. This is kind of like an excursion for you. So I wanted to know what you wanted out of School Sucks Across America, make sure I could deliver it. And Shannon can help.
Yeah, I think aside from the little bit of adventure and like connection and community that I do get when I meet up with these people, I was excited to connect with you and I think really celebrate just the meaning and just what a gift your passion has been to all of these people, you know, hearing the impact that you've had on them. For me, listening to your show like back in 2009 or 2010, like a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Having little kids, I didn't know any other unschoolers or anything like that. So it was just such a breath of fresh air. And so I have a lot of appreciation for you and your presence out there on the internet and sharing these really valuable ideas that can liberate families from domination structures, which I think is like so critical. So just I have a ton of respect for you and the work that you do. And I just wanted to give you appreciation mostly.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I'm glad I'm glad I got you on the show. It's unfortunate we didn't get to talk more, but like I said, this is just my preview of this area. I really want to come back here. I think this
you
is great what people,
yeah.
And I didn't realize how many parents' stories there were, you know, because I mean, people come up on, you know, the Facebook group or in my feed, and I can only look into everyone so much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I didn't know Joe was a dad. I didn't know you were a mom.
I'm a grandma.
I definitely.
Being a mom.
I don't even believe you. So.
It's super true. He's awesome, cute. His name is August, and his mom is considering homeschooling him or unschooling or self-educating as he gets older. He's only 17 months now, so we have a while.
So I know that we were talking about, you know, your own children, and you were able to start them off, you know, at home with you. And for some of them, that was years that you did that. What would you share with people who are maybe in her daughter's situation, you know, as far as like what you've learned?
Yeah.
Like what are the most important pieces of wisdom? I know it's not the ideal question for midnight, but
here you're super exhausted. What's the most important thing you can think of?
you have raised amazing humans, and you are still continuing to do that, even if they dress me up like a hot dog every now and then.
She did. My kids did actually put her into a hot dog suit.
They could go to. Oh, yeah, but you don't have the hot dogs. No, not for a human.
No. No, Katie probably
this
still
was,
has
I
it.
Have the human hot dog suit. But to answer your question,
yeah,
I would invite any parents to think of something that they learned in their life that they felt excited about. Because I know for me, every time that I ever learned something, it was when I was excited about it. I was curious about that myself. And then when I went and learned that, I didn't ever forget it.
Yeah.
But all the stuff that I was forced to learn, right, like all the stuff that you guys were probably forced to learn, didn't integrate. It didn't sit into my system, you know, and people can have master's degrees in who knows what, and they don't know everything that they supposedly, quote unquote, should know.
Right.
So for me, observing my infant and then my toddler, who was just really curious. Like, I saw that human beings are learning machines. They're natural scientists. They can't help it. And so there was no reason for me as a parent to step in and somehow put some structure around that that wasn't organic. And so, so my invitation to parents is to just be open-minded to the idea that you can trust your child and you can trust yourself in pursuing your natural intrinsic desire to discover the world. There's no, you know, need to put any sort of box around that. And I've seen it with my own kids who learned to read playing video games and things like that. You know, it's like all the stories that you get taught. It's just they're not true. And you've been proving that and, you know, providing evidence and perspectives and stories about that for years. So it's not new to your audience. But that's what I would say is just question things, trust yourself, and look at what your actual experience is. Like, let's think empirically for a minute about, you know, how we actually learn. You know, and of course, formal structure, there's nothing inherently wrong with that as long as it's voluntary. I think that's the key is, like, if you take the coercion out of education, it can look like anything.
Yeah.
But that's what I really want to get to.
Yeah, a 7-year-old could say, look, you need to get me into like a tax seminar, you know, where I sit there for 8 hours a day and learn how the tax code.
We might have some talks.
There would be a couple are you sure's, but it is like I'm thinking of something that I would consider dreadful that somebody could choose.
Yeah.
You know, that they're intrinsically based on an intrinsic motivation that they have.
Yeah.
That's a good point because I don't want to just be railing on formal education, right? Sometimes that's the best place for a person to be if they chose to be there. But I think what you said too about the question that adults should ask themselves about like, what have you learned? You know, what were you excited about learning? And then like, holy shit, just apply that to the people who are actually at the best time in life for learning, right? I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that. That's awesome. And I don't want to keep you too long.
I just wanted to mention that Katie is, you know, one of the people that brought us all together originally. She's her and Danny, who was here earlier, started the MPLC and the first Liberty Fest. And Shannon was right after that. I'm not sure. But it started with homeschooling, I believe. And I just think that's great. And if you want to talk about it for a minute or not, that's great. So.
Thank you for pointing that out, Mike. I think actually what he just shared pointed out something else that I would say to parents is that community is really important. So surrounding yourself with like-minded people that get what you're trying to do with your kids is critical. And it can be challenging to do, but thankfully we have the internet.
Right.
And so actually how I connected with a lot of these people is because I was an unschooler and Danny, who you met earlier, was also an unschooler. And we connected before she was even in, you know, a voluntarist or anything like that.
Katie one day sent me a Facebook message and said, hey, there's a bunch of other people who kind of think this way. Why don't you come by? And
a beautiful woman sending you a Facebook invitation.
And yeah, she wasn't a Middle Eastern man. You know, she was
she was legit.
I met these people who all of a sudden I could express myself in exactly the way that I felt like I wanted to, and I didn't have to be scared of it. I didn't have to hide it, and people understood. People would argue with me in a constructive manner without freaking out, and people would actually understand some of what I was talking about, and it was this weight off my shoulders when I was around these people. This community, when you actually go and hang out with other liberty advocates in person, it brings you something that you can't possibly get off of Facebook.